This is Marketplace from APM. I'm Kai Rizdahl.
Book publishing isn't a phrase we hear all that often without dying or is dead somewhere close by in the same paragraph. But once upon a time, running a publishing house was a prestige thing, even if it was one with a challenging business model. Boris Kochka has a new book out about perhaps the most prestigious publisher, Farrar, Straus & Giroux. It's called Hot House, the book is. Boris, welcome to the program.
Thanks. Good to be here.
Why did Roger Straus decide he wanted to be a publisher after the Second World War?
He was flailing a little bit. he came from a Princeton family, Strauses and the Guggenheims, and
a family of some note. I mean, you know, they were high society, right?
Yeah, came with a lot of expectations, and he figured he'd run something, but he didn't know quite what to run. I think it was really the center of culture. It was the and that's where the most important people sort of gravitated.
It was in the 50s and 60s. It was a big deal to be a publishing house. It was of note. It was worthy. It was celebrated, and then. And then the wheels didn't quite come off, but it stopped being what it was. It stopped being the new, right?
Yeah, it was a low margin business, and it's the business that a certain wealthy intellectual class would find themselves going into. It just became less glamorous, and I think a lot of that had to do with consolidation.
What was it then about Farrar, Straus & Giroux that made it stand out in the worlds of Simon & Schuster and you know, Harcourt, Brace, Jovanovich, the school publishers, and Houghton Mifflin and all those guys?
Well, if you look back at, for example, Robert Giroux, who brought the intellectual heft to FSG, had been at Harcourt, Brace, and they had started getting into textbooks, and that's what Simon & Schuster were doing. They were getting into the most profitable parts of the industry and growing, and Simon & Schuster eventually was acquired by a conglomerate. What FSG did was remained independent and mid-sized. They actually had impact, and yet they managed to stay independent, and the only shareholders they had to answer to were essentially Roger's rich friends.
How then does FSG balance publishing the kind of, as you call them, literary high-minded works that it wanted to publish with just flat paying the bills?
Some of it had to do with that sort of cushion of collateral that Roger Straus had for so many years. Some of it had to do with chronically underpaying writers and staff. you had to have the occasional bestseller.
How much did FSG benefit, do you think, from the personalities of its founders? I mean, they were extremely, as you say, influential in this thing and influential in the circles. Did that change the nature of this company?
Yeah, and I think that sometimes people think of, you know, marketing as a modern phenomenon or PR publicity, that drives books, and before it was all about just the quality of the book inherently. But I think with the success of Roger Straus is the success of PR. It's a slightly different kind of PR. It's more review-driven. Now, you couldn't do it without someone like Giroux, sort of the workhorse behind the scenes, making the books worth the effort, because otherwise someone's going to realize that you're full of it. but you needed to project a certain aura, and I think it's important to keep in mind that that's always been true.
Could somebody, if they put their mind to it, could they launch a publishing house like FSG today?
It would be very difficult, and I don't think it would look like FSG then or now. I think it might be online. I think it might have social elements. It might outsource editing. It might outsource marketing. I think we are looking at a totally new environment. And if I could tell you what that would look like, I would probably do it myself.
Boris Kochka, his book about Farrar, Straus & Giroux is called Hot House, The Art of Survival and the Survival of Art at America's Most Celebrated Publishing House. Boris, thanks a lot.
Thank you. It was great.